You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
The Rough Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Melville.
Day tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty, it is Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thank you so much for being here for the show today. Sorry we couldn't be with you yesterday or Friday, but Herb Thrasher and I were putting 1,360 miles on the old car. We made our way down to the High Times Northern California Cannabis Cup. It was held at the Cow Palace just south of San Francisco. And we've got some highlights from the Cannabis Cup for you all week long. Coming up today in our Behind the Headlines segment, I was so excited to get this interview. A friend from the Normal Women's Alliance came by and said that Eddie Lepp would be calling in from the Federal Correctional Facility in Florence, Colorado. And sure enough, we got Eddie Lepp on the phone. Of course, Eddie serving a mandatory 10-year federal sentence for cultivating over 25,000 marijuana plants in California for medical purposes. He's a Rastafarian minister, and we got to speak with Eddie for about 5 minutes. We'll play that for you coming up right after the 420 radio news. Also on the show today, in drug war data mining, I got to meet a fellow by the name of Joel. I've got his card here. Let's see if I can get what his last name is. But Joel is from Merigene and Hempgene. And what those are the companies or the groups that are working on marijuana's genetic profile. That's right, finding out the genetic profile of cannabis and marijuana strains. His name's Joel Strike, and we spoke to him outside one of the booths there at the Cannabis Cup, and it's pretty exciting work they're doing. We'll actually be able to scientifically verify that the strain that a dispensary claims they're selling is the actual strain. So interesting information. That's coming up in Drug War Data Mining. Then, for more in cannabis science today, at half past, we're going to do our cannabinoid medicine update, and we're going to be speaking live with Trey Reckling. He's with the Science of Cannabis Institute, and he's going to be giving away two passes to their classes. They have one in Washington, one coming soon to Portland, Oregon. And if you'd like to go to these classes, they're $125 value. You could win during the interview coming up at half past, so stay tuned for that. Also coming up on the show, we'll have time at the end for a radical rant where I talk about the insane quest for a stoned driving threshold. It seems they just can't let it go. Latest study coming from the federal government, Dr. Marilyn Huestis, or Huestis, I think is her name, trying to figure out what number of nanograms per milliliter in the blood is going to guarantee someone is too stoned to drive. I'm going to explain why that is scientifically impossible and, legally speaking, not very good of an idea in the first place. Even if you're putatively trying to stop impaired drivers, it's not going to work like you think it will. Also coming up in hour two in Toker Talk Radio, we are going to be talking off the warpath. I'm going to address the controversy over the Confederate flag in the South, particularly South Carolina. Also, I made it into the San Francisco Chronicle. We'll talk a little bit about that. Plus, we've got Electric Tuesday. Electric Bob will be calling in with another great electronic song for you. Plus, we'll take your calls toll-free at 84-420 Radio. I'm Radical Russ. We're back from California with the 420 News right after this.
You're tuned into the Russ Melville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
You can get 420 Radio on the go with our Shoutcast stream for all internet-enabled media players. Go to rad-r.us/420shout or just click the Shoutcast icon below the live radio feed at 420radio.org.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for Norman. And I smoke pot and I like it a lot. I learned a long time ago that marijuana is a lot safer than alcohol. There's nothing wrong with the responsible use of marijuana by adults. It's time we stopped arresting and started respecting those who smoke marijuana responsibly. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORML.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Oh man, I really dig this tune. You should really check out this groove.
Cool.
Hey, check out more deep cuts like this on my show, Big Daddy Fink's Funky Roller Rink, every Thursday night on 420 Radio.
Funky Roller Rink.
Radio is brought to you by Sacred Serum, who is focused on creating elegant and sophisticated cannabis solutions through its line of dispensers and vaporizers that come preloaded with the world's finest cannabis concentrate. Sacred Serum's concentrate is made on pharmaceutical-grade supercritical CO2 extraction machines that use absolutely no butane or other toxic chemicals. The Vesica, the company's innovative new way to dab and frost, is now available in dispensaries across California. Sacred Serum. Elegance and sophistication concentrated.
It's time for the 420 Radio News, covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Transcripts of 420 Radio News are available daily on our website at 420radio.org. Now, here's Russ Belville with your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds.
This is your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. The White House took a major step forward on Monday to support research into the medical properties of marijuana, lifting a much maligned bureaucratic requirement that had long stifled scientific research. By eliminating the Public Health Service review requirement, the Department of Health and Human Services will help facilitate research into marijuana. Before today, marijuana research that was not funded by the government must go through a Public Health Service review, a process established in 1999 by the federal government after a 1998 Institute of Medicine report called for more scientific research into the medical value of marijuana. It's a process that no other substance classified by the government as Schedule 1 is subject to, and one that researchers and lawmakers alike have criticized. Lawmakers in the Maine House and Senate overwhelmingly affirmed on Monday that they would not pass a law to legalize, tax, and regulate recreational use of marijuana. The House rejected LD 1380, a bill by longtime legalization advocate Representative Diane Russell, a Democrat of Portland, that would have put the question out for a public vote. The bill was defeated 98-45. The bill was the best and last chance for pro-pot activists to push their agenda through the legislature this year. While the bill still faces a vote in the Senate, its death is all but assured. Senators on Monday unanimously killed another pro-legalization bill, LD 1401, sponsored by another Portland Democrat, Representative Mark Dion. Two separate and competing pro-legalization groups are collecting signatures to put the legalization question out to statewide ballot in 2016. Russell and Dion both said it's only a matter of time before voters enact legalization by citizen initiative. California lawmakers have passed a bill that prevents medical marijuana users from being denied organ transplants just because they use pot. The state Senate on Monday passed AB 258 by Democratic Assemblyman Mark Levine of San Rafael on a 33-1 vote. Supporters say some patients who use medical marijuana have been denied life-saving organ transplants because they are treated by doctors as drug abusers. Levine's bill would help medical marijuana users access organ transplants by prohibiting a hospital or doctor from disqualifying a person solely because of medical marijuana. Democratic Senator Mark Leno of San Francisco presented the bill in the Senate and said it would save lives. The bill has already cleared the assembly and now heads to Governor Jerry Brown for his consideration. A majority of New Jersey residents say they support the legalization of marijuana, according to a Rutgers University Eagleton Institute poll released last week. According to the responses from 860 residents, 32% strongly support legalizing, regulating, and taxing marijuana for adults 21 years and older. 26% say they somewhat support it, for a positive support of 58% overall. 12% are somewhat opposed, 27% are strongly opposed, and 3% said they didn't have an opinion. An analysis of 75 edible marijuana products sold to patients in Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles found that labels on just 17% accurately described their levels of THC, the main psychoactive ingredient, researchers reported Tuesday. 60% of the products had less THC than their packages advertised, while 23% of them had more THC than claimed. Some discrepancies were notably large. In one case, a product had just 3 milligrams of THC, even though its label claimed 108. The likelihood of getting edible medical marijuana with more THC than advertised was higher in Los Angeles, while the likelihood of getting one with less THC than labeled was greater in Seattle. The Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine paid for the study, except for the cost of the testing, which was covered by The Workshop, a laboratory with outposts in California and Washington State. Almost 18 months into Colorado's experiment with legal recreational marijuana, the counter price of an eighth of an ounce is down as much as 40%, researchers from New York brokerage firm Convergex reported Monday. After selling for anywhere between $50 to $75 last spring, eighths are selling for between $30 and $45 in the first half of 2015, according to the firm's survey of retailers in Colorado. The drop is not necessarily bad news for legalization advocates. Sales revenues were up 153% in January, 164% in February, 126% for March, and 90% for April for recreational pot compared to the same month a year before. This has been your 420 Radio News for Tuesday, June 23rd, 2015. I'm Russ Belville.
Oregon has joined Washington and Colorado in legalizing marijuana. We're Portland Normal, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws chapter in Portland, Oregon. Join us as we celebrate the launch of an exciting new era in marijuana freedom in Oregon. Our job has just begun. Powerful interests want to white out the most important portions of Oregon's legalization law. By joining Portland Normal, you add your voice to the thousands who voted for Measure 91 and want it to be implemented as written. The people have spoken. Now it is time for the legislature to obey the will of the people. Find out more about Portland Normal at portlandnormal.org. Attend our monthly membership meetings on the fourth Saturday of the month. See our website for more details. Portland Normal. Ensuring responsible adult marijuana consumers are afforded the same rights, privileges, and responsibilities as beer drinkers. NORMAL stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks are far less than those posed by legal drugs.
The Fingerboard Extension has fretted instruments to enhance your creativity. It has new and used guitars and banjos from beginning to high class. The Fingerboard Extension has National Resophonic, Husson Dalton, Larrabee, Heritage and Recording King guitars, and Mike Ramsey, Wildwood, Gold Tone, and Recording King banjos. The Fingerboard Extension also has drum stuff, used gear, and parts. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension, downtown Corvallis, Oregon at 120 Northwest 2nd, or check out the inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com and reverb.com.
Welcome back, everybody. For Behind the Headlines, we speak with Eddie Lepp from the federal prison in Colorado.
Hello.
Hi, Eddie. I have you here on the 420 radio with Russ Belville.
Oh, well, how good. That's wonderful. You guys having a good time there at the Cannabis Cup?
Yeah, Eddie, thanks for being on the air with us. We appreciate it, man. We know how hard it is to call out and how much time you get, so thank you.
No problem.
So it's it's the first day of summer, and you're calling us from a correctional institution. Are you still in Colorado?
Oh, yeah, I'm still in Fort. Crown jewel of the BOP system.
Yeah. And
it's actually not too bad a place. I mean, you know, fairly new, fairly good shape. Could be a lot worse.
Yeah, and how are you doing? How are you holding up? And how long before we get to see you again?
I'm sorry, I couldn't understand that at all.
How long do you have left before we see you again?
About 13 or 14 months. If I do the residential drug program, and about 23 or 24, if for some reason I don't make it through that. I should be getting out the end of July, a year from now.
Wow, July 2016. We're all looking forward to that. How have you been personally? How are you holding up?
You kind of put everything on hold when you go to prison. You know, you for example, I've had to deal with quite a few deaths. Great Jack Carrera passed away after I'd been down about a year. And, you know, I've had a lot of other people that I've lost. And you can't deal with that aspect of your life. You have to just, you know, you kind of pretend it didn't happen and get on day to day. One of these days after I've gotten out, I'll cry for everybody I've lost. But you can't show that kind of weakness in here.
Sure, understandable. And so much has changed since you've gone in, and especially in the state you're in right now in Colorado. People growing in warehouses what you were growing outside in California. How does that feel, and do you want to get in on it when you get out?
Well, to answer the first part, how does it feel? Kind of ludicrous. I mean, you know, they got me in federal prison for doing something that they're doing all over the state surrounding me. I mean, my good buddy Tommy Chong owns half of a legal smoke shop. As a convicted felon, basically the same charges I'm convicted of. And he's got a legal marijuana shop less than a 20-minute drive from where I'm in prison. So, like I say, it's kind of ludicrous. You know, I mean, it doesn't make sense at all. But hopefully the United States Sentencing Commission and Congress and the Senate will, you know, start doing the right thing. I've said, and I'll say again, if John Q. Public, meaning you guys, really truly knew, really truly understood what was going on in this prison system, you would send everybody that's in a camp home tomorrow.
You know,
it's that simple.
I think more people are becoming aware of it. We're seeing some movement in politics toward ending mass incarceration. Of course, that starts with ending the drug war. And Eddie Lepp, you've been a drug warrior from the beginning. You've been fighting against this injustice, trying to get medicine to the patients. What message do you have for folks out here as they're moving forward to legalize in California in 2016? What would you like them to do?
Well, the best thing that people could do as far as helping us would be to get a hold of the United States Sentencing Commission and ask them to make the two-point reduction in crime. You know, they have a two-point thing. Have them apply that to the guys, the guys that got mandatory minimums, because they applied it to everybody but those that had mandatory minimums. And if, for example, I would have got the two-point reduction, I would be home right now. And when I was sentenced, my judge said the 10 years was excessive, it was way too much. She didn't want to do it. If she could do anything at all to change it, she would. And if there were any changes in the law to allow her to resentence me, she would do it. Well, the law changed, but they didn't specifically say it applied to mandatory minimum. So I'm still sitting here. So, you know, get a hold of the United States Sentencing Commission and let them know to make the two-point reduction apply to mandatory minimum.
Excellent. And if people want to help you just getting by day, is there a fund? Is there a way they can donate to your commissary or anything like that?
They can go to Western Union. They can go to Western Union and put money on my books. They need my name and my prison number. And the city is BOP and the state is D.C. They can also mail it to a place in Des Moines, Iowa. They can get all of this information off of the BOP website. It's BOP.gov.
All right, very good. Eddie Lepp, we're going to give you back so that you got some time to speak with other people. Thanks for talking to us, and the best of luck to you in the remaining time you've got. We can't wait to see you in July 2016.
Thank you so much for chatting with me. I really appreciate it. And hope everybody's really enjoying the cannabis cup.
All right. We'll get you here to one of them very soon.
Oh, I could have smoked that pot.
Very surreal speaking with Eddie Lepp sitting in a federal prison in the middle of Colorado. Warehouses all around him growing more plants than he was growing and doing it legally and making a profit. We'll see you as soon as you get out, Eddie Lepp. And let's hope that the marijuana industry can somehow find a place for you.
420 Radio is 24-hour marijuana legalization radio. This is Radical Russ encouraging you to take a look at the Weed Blog every day. Johnny Green and the staff at the Weed Blog are on top of all the latest developments in the fight to end marijuana prohibition nationwide. You can even get the Weed Blog on your smartphone by installing the Weed Blog app for iPhone and Android. If it's about weed, it's on the Weed Blog, including my original writing. So don't delay. Read the Weed Blog today.
Hey, I'm Herb Thrasher, host of the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, live every Friday night at 8 Pacific. Tune in for 2 hours of metal marijuana mayhem featuring exclusive interviews with the latest bands, highlights of live shows, and the latest in marijuana news. It's the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour, Friday nights at 8 p.m. at 420 Radio, or catch the replay on Saturday nights.
Get .buzz. .buzz is the internet platform that fuels community interest, excitement, and new experiences. .buzz is the premier online destination for internet users seeking the latest news on a variety of topics. .buzz appeals to groups active in blogging, communications, journalism, advertising, and marketing. .buzz offers registrants a stronger alternative to the shrinking namespace of existing top-level domain names, such as .com, .net, and .org. Get your name now at get.buzz. Arguing for the end of adult marijuana prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It is even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more in this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
Learn a little bit about cannabis genetics with Joel Strike.
All right, Radical Russ out here. The medicated area, Cal Palace. I was told that I should talk to you. My name is Russ. I'm from 420 Radio.
Hey, Russ. Nice to meet you. I'm Joel from Mary Jean from Hemp Gene.
Fantastic. And I understand you're involved with the Cannabis Genome Project.
Yes, we work with Dr. Nolan Kane for the Cannabis Genomic Research Initiative. That's based out of the University of Colorado at Boulder. And we work with him for genomics and also in trying to gather samples from all around the world to get to him to increase his genetic library so we can get the entire genome mapped out and fully sequenced in the order to the base pairs like we have done for the human genome.
So breaking this down for our listeners, I could say this is like, if you were wondering if that super sour diesel really was super sour diesel, this is the technology, this is the science that's going to break that down.
That is correct, because we will have the actual genome of Super Sour Diesel or of your Purple Haze or of your whatever strain it is that you have created or bred or purchased. We'll be able to, that will be on record, and then we will be able to do a simple genetic test, a simple genetic sample of each harvest, either initially when it's in vegetative growth or at the end with the final flowering product, and be able to cross-reference that with the whole genome that is on record with Mary Jean and with the Cannabis Genomic Research Initiative.
So how far back did that go? I could test a seed and find out if it's the...
Seed doesn't have enough material. It needs to be germinated, but as soon as leaflets that are approximately 1 inch, 2 to 4 centimeters appear, then we can do a sample from that. Wow. And get you the information to tell you how homozygous it is or stable. And if you're looking for particular traits, we can also let you know if your plant has those traits that you're looking for or the potential for those traits. Whether or not the plant fully comes to realize or express those traits is up to the grower, but we'll tell you if you have the THC synthase genes or the CBD synthase genes or what versions of the flowering time genes you have, whether or not you've got the genes for powdery mildew resistance or etc. So if you're a hemp grower, be able to tell you about the morphology of your plant. If you've got tall, looking for tall bast fibers, etc. Or if you want a truly monocious strain that will fertilize herself, for perfect for grain cultivars, we'll be able to tell you whether or not you have those genes. And also the more samples that we have on record, the more we will be able to compare and verify that yes, this indeed is Sour Diesel, this indeed is Granddaddy Purple, this indeed is whatever it is, Old Toby for instance, from this is Matthew Gordon's Old Toby or something like that. We'll be able to tell you this is that or you know this is not that.
Wow. So any idea, any estimate on how many different genomic sequences you'll eventually end up? I mean, how many different varieties there are?
No, but we do anticipate that our bioinformatics will plateau around perhaps 4,000 samples or different samples essentially, and different land races or different hybrids. You know, at one point or another, we will plateau, and that'll probably be around there, but I'm not exactly positive. Would that be an answer for Dr. Kane?
Maybe 4,000 or so?
No, at least.
That's not 4,000 species, that's 4,000 strains or cultivars. Just like different breeds of dog or different breeds of apple or different breeds of people. You know, you can we plateau at a certain amount when it comes to defining them. Another thing is, how is this really OG Kush? Is this OG Kush in its terpenoid profile, so it smells like it? Or is it OG Kush in its flower time or in its whatever trait that you're looking for? Or if you've got an unknown strain, we'll be able to tell you, well, this strain that you've got here, its terpenoid profile is that of the OG family, or, but the flowering time is more related to the Northern Lights or Early Girl or a Ruderalis strain, something like that. So,
is it just based on the codes that are in specific areas within the gene that tells you that?
Exactly. Specific genetic markers that are there in the genome that we are working to get those done. The work is done is being done by Dr. Nolan Kane and the Cannabis Genomic Research Initiative. I want to give them all credit where it's due because it is, he is really doing fantastic work. But that's but he's one of he's the man who's doing it, and so he has a lot more information and he has a lot more technical information. I really would recommend that anybody who's interested in learning more of this to either to definitely go to their website, which is you can just Google Cannabis Genomic Research Initiative, and you'll be able to see them there and learn more information from there about Dr. Kane and his work specifically.
Wow, that's fantastic. Thanks for taking some time to talk to us. And, man, this is some amazing research you're a part of. It's an exciting time to be a part of cannabis research with everything changing like it is.
It really is, and we're really happy to be part of the people who are in the forefront of this, and our goal is to establish ourselves as the genetic authority of reference so people can say this indeed is this according to us, and that is done through openness and whatever degree of personal information the grower would want to have released or not, but it's a wonderful time, so we're really looking forward to unlocking the mysteries of cannabis here. And if I can just plug our websites one time, go to www.marigene.com. That's M-A-R-I-G-E-N-E.com. And also hempgene.com, H-E-M-P-G-E-N-E.com. So there's a lot more information that will be revealed as we unravel these mysteries. And stay tuned. If anybody has samples that they are interested in donating or getting to Dr. Kane, you can do that through us because we are in Arizona, in Colorado, in Minnesota, and also in Wisconsin. So we can be in touch. We've got our own lab to extract DNA, so have lab, we'll travel.
Right on. Thank you so much, and have a great Cannabis Cup.
I sure will, Russ. Thank you very much, sir. Thank you.
420 Radio, the activist radio station.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome!
Growing plants indoors can be a rewarding hobby, but electricity bills can go through the roof.
Then you have to cool down all those big hot lights. It can drive a grower insane. With Lush LED lighting, you can solve many of these issues and double your rewards. Matt and his scientists have developed the perfect light for flowering plants with far less cost and heat. And the results? Very effective. Check out LushLEDLighting.com right now and tell them Radical Russ sent you.
While humans have been using cannabis for medicinal purposes for over 5,000 years, medical science is only beginning to unlock the secrets of the endocannabinoid system and the promise of cannabinoid medicines. Join us now for the latest cannabinoid medicine update.
All right, welcome back, everybody. And joining us by telephone today, we have Trey Reckling from the Science of Cannabis Institute. Trey, welcome to the show.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Oh, so glad to have you here. The Science of Cannabis Institute sounds like something our listeners would be very interested in. We're very big fans of science. Want to make sure people are getting the right information out about cannabis. So when was this institute formed and where are you located?
I'm sorry. Hold on. I had a hard time hearing you there. Let me make sure my connection's set.
Okay. This is
I'm sorry. I missed the second part of your question, Russ.
I was just wondering, when was the institute formed and where are you located?
Yes, we've just formed in this past year, and we teach classes on campus at University of Washington, and luckily soon we'll be expanding to Portland State in July.
Oh, excellent. Portland State, just down the Max tracks for me. That's good news. ScienceofCannabisInstitute.com is where folks can find more information. What is it you're teaching in the science of cannabis?
Well, we recognize the need for education, you know, in any new industry, but especially in new industry, the employees are educated, have a baseline information. And whether or not you're going to be a direct person handling cannabis or working with patients or as a medical provider, we think there's so many, as you know, there's so many professions where people are going to need to know a little bit more to make themselves sharp so they can work, whether it's real estate, whether it's law, whether it's some other kind of advising position. So we see, you know, great need across the board for education. Just, as you know, we're working against 70 years of bad information and propaganda, and there's just so much old knowledge and new knowledge to share. It's an exciting time.
Is this institute, the Science of Cannabis Institute, offering just one particular track? Is it a series of courses, or are there different specialties, different types of courses people can take?
Great question. Right now we're just starting. We're focusing on the baseline information, what we call our SCI, or Science of Cannabis Institute Associate course. And so that gives folks a baseline. It's a four-hour class. So in that, we're going to talk about history and kind of what got us here, first of all. We're going to talk about the plant anatomy, physiology, different ways that people have taken the plant historically, different forms of extracts, and then what you're going to see in the store. We're going to talk a little bit about self-dosing. We're going to talk about human interaction with the plant. We're going to dispel some, we're going to talk about what they talk about overdosing, which is really cannabis intoxication and how you can prevent and remedy that. And then we're going to go in and talk about laws. So in the state of Washington, then we'll talk about the 502 law, and then working with patients and working with customers in that light with regard to the law.
Okay, so Science of Cannabis Institute, the associate classes currently going on at the University of Washington and soon coming to the Portland State University campus. Who are the instructors and what are some of their background?
Great question. We have some great folks. And like I said, we're just starting with the associate course, but we're rapidly building our online content. So there'll soon be an associate course online. And then, to your question, teaching our in-person class, we have the what we call the Powers, or what they call themselves, the Powers of Cannabis. Autumn and Andrew Powers, they're twins out of Tacoma. They've opened, I think, four different retail and medical dispensaries at this point, and they work with patients on a daily basis. So those guys are great to talk about cannabis, to talk about kind of real world interaction, the questions they're most likely to hear across the counter. So from a customer service perspective, they've been great. The person that developed our course is Dr. Scott Brown, and he has a PhD in physiology, has a master's in chemistry, and so he helped build out our baseline, our associate course. And he has taught the class as well, and then we'll also be adding, like I said, some other courses coming up. We'll be adding a cooking with cannabis class. We'll be doing cannabis and law with a gentleman named Sean Bagby. He's in, He's in Seattle area. Mary White will be teaching our cooking with cannabis class. And we're just going to continue to expand. We have a lot of good reception so far. The folks at University of Washington have been fantastic as hosts and welcoming us on their campus. So we're really excited, you know, open arms kind of across the board as we've told people what we do and what our intentions are. And as you know, a lot of folks really need the education. As a patient going in right now into a dispensary or a retail outlet, you may get somebody who's very educated, and you may get somebody who's not so much. And so we really see the need for that, and we want to help raise the bar and create a standard. So this first class, this associate class, will actually allow someone to be certified in the industry. Right now, there's no one certification recognized by our liquor control board. So what we've done is set the bar. We've gone to them, told them of our intention, showed them our outline, and they said, hey, what are you waiting for? We agree. We really need education. So we've got some important supporters there as well.
That's excellent. We're speaking with Trey Reckling. He's the co-founder and the dean of the Science of Cannabis Institute at the University of Washington campus and soon coming to Portland State in July. The website is scienceofcannabisinstitute.com. And you mention a lot of what we need to know for helping patients. But of course, Washington State and Oregon soon enough will have recreational. This baseline curriculum that you're giving sounds like it also is giving the medical information. Is that going to be useful for people that are on the recreational side?
We think so. I mean, is especially like you said, things are coming together here in the state, and we think anybody who's touching the product, anybody who's working with the product, anybody who's, you know, we feel like anybody in the industry needs to be an educator right now, and so all those folks need this information, and we believe it's crucial because whether or not you're taking cannabis as a prescribed herb, even if you're using it recreationally. You know, that's still recreation has a medicinal purpose, you know, just like the military has recognized for a long time, rest and relaxation or rest and recreation. And so in some ways, you know, whether in one case, of course, it's recommended by a doctor. But we believe, you know, just because of the medicinal effects, it's education that really won't go to waste.
Very well put. You know, we are talking about something that has a mood and mind altering effect. Why not know some of the medicine behind that? It couldn't hurt a recreational customer to know that. So why not teach it to all of us? I've been an advocate for that, Trey, that, you know, we might as well set the bar at what the most frail patient needs, because it doesn't hurt to know that, even if you're just a recreational consumer.
And some people don't believe it still, you know, and you've heard the doubters. Folks say, well, you know, there are a lot of those folks that aren't even taking it for medicine. And that well may be the case. But like I said, we believe that use still has value. And you know, there will be some people who use the system. But as we all know, there are very legitimate patients out there that need the product.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So if we can raise the bar there about those stories being told and helping people realize, no, this is legitimate medicine. It's ancient medicine. We're relearning what our great grandparents probably already knew. But, you know, there are a few books that didn't get burned or, you know, have been archived for us to use, and some great knowledge that's kind of coming out of closets and grow rooms right now. And so that's another audience we really want to recognize, those folks who, you know, in cover of darkness have been working to propagate the plant. We know there are a lot of smart people out there that would like to teach what they know, and then now can be certified and recognized for those talents that they don't have to hide under a bushel anymore.
Well, that's great. Thank you, Trey. And we want to make this opportunity here on 420 Radio and the Russ Belville Show. You've got a special giveaway for our listeners. Can you tell more about it?
Absolutely. And we'll have a couple opportunities. Our next class at University of Washington is this Saturday on the 27th, and then our next class at Portland State will be on July 11th. So this coupon will be good for a free class in either one of those locations. If the winner can't participate in either one of those, then the coupon will not expire, and they'll be able to use it for a future date. There'll be information there. They can contact us and let us know what works for them.
All right. So we got two of these to give away, one for each state, I assume?
Sure. Well, actually, we'll honor whatever works for your listeners.
Okay, great. So all of our listeners here in the Pacific Northwest, or heck, anywhere if you want to make the drive, you are eligible to win the first responses I get to my email account, radicalruss@gmail.com. Only enter if you can truly make use of these tickets. Let's make sure that information gets out to someone who can use it. But if you'd like to win, just send an email, radicalruss@gmail.com. And in the subject line there, just put Science of Cannabis Institute, and that'll help me find it. And the first ones I find, you are the winners. Thank you, Trey, so much for that. And before we let everyone go, let's remind them that the scienceofcannabisinstitute.com is the website. And with our last minute or so, anything else you'd like to tell folks about the institute?
You know, we're also happy to be doing public outreach. We're going to be speaking to a group of veterans and other public members this week. And once again, we just want to encourage folks to work with the facts. Find out what the science is. When you don't know, engage somebody like yourself, like us, who can help out. If we don't know the answer, we'd be happy to help you find it. And, you know, and always advocating for more science, more data, more facts, just so we can continue to tell good news that's based in science.
All right. Trey Reckling from the Science of Cannabis Institute, thanks for calling into the show today. We appreciate it, and we appreciate the class giveaways as well.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much, and look forward to hearing you more in the future.
All right. And folks, check that out. RadicalRuss@gmail.com is the email address. Put Science of Cannabis Institute in the subject line, and the first two that I receive, you will each receive one coupon for the free Science of Cannabis Institute associate classes. They are a $125 value, and the class space is limited, but the coupons are not. They do not expire. So if you can't make this June 27th at the University of Washington campus or July 11th at the Portland State University campus, you can hold on to those coupons and use them at a future class time. Check out scienceofcannabisinstitute.com for information on the class schedules and more. All right, when we come back, we'll close out the show with a radical rant examining the insane quest for a stoned driving threshold. Also, check out my SoundCloud page, soundcloud.com/radicalruss. We got all the clip highlights from the High Times Cannabis Cup in Northern California. And stay tuned for hour two. We're going to talk about me in the San Francisco Chronicle, the Confederate flag. We'll get some Electric Tuesday music and more. Right here, live on 420 Radio.
You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
420 Radio, the home of marijuana experts.
You know Herb Thrasher from the Herb Thrasher Flower Hour. Now get ready for Herb Age Designs for the proud cannabis consumer.
Herb Age Designs.
Lifestyle gear for the 420 friendly.
Herb Age Designs.
We've got frisbee golf discs and durable hemp gear.
Herb Age Designs.
We've got shot glasses, drinking glasses, coffee mugs, and beer cozies. Check us out on Facebook and online at
herbagedesigns.com.
And follow Herb Age and Herb Thrasher on Twitter.
The beginning of the end started in 1996 when California legalized weed for so-called medical purposes. 16 years later, Washington and Colorado legalized it outright and let people sell it from storefronts. And what has been the result?
The generation of millions of dollars in tax revenue for the states and creation of hundreds of new jobs in a growing multi-billion dollar industry?
No. Well, yes. But at what cost?
Let's see. The cost of all that police time and money that's now spent going after real criminals and prisons with enough room to hold them all?
No. Well, yes. But look at what it's done to the people.
You mean that fewer of them are dying of alcohol, tobacco, and prescription-related causes since they've switched to cannabis, and many more are receiving medical benefit from a cheap, non-toxic healing herb?
No. Well, yes. Yes. Yes to all of that. But I can smell pot from my backyard. And I can't tell my kids not to do it because it's illegal.
Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel produces quality custom designs for t-shirts, hats, and other apparel. Handmade Apparel is the official design shop for 420 Radio, among many clients who rely on Adam Hand for everything from short-run custom projects to full-run clothing lines. Visit handmadeapparel.biz to browse the selection of handmade gear or to get a personal quote for your own designs. Handmade Apparel, a proud supporter of 420radio.org.
We must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
Once again, I get into the mainstream media to find another question about how much does marijuana impact your driving? This comes by way of Eliza Gray on Time.com, Time Magazine, and describing a new federal research study by the National Institute on Drug Abuse about the effects of marijuana on driving performance. Now, they open up by giving us some scary statistic that, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, in weekend nighttime drivers, 8.3% had some alcohol in their system, and 12.6% had tested positive for THC. And that was up from 8.6% in 2007. So they're concerned there's some 50% increase in how many people are testing positive for THC out there on the weekend nights. Now, the question, of course, is about the wish, the dream, the hope, the desire for the marijuana breathalyzer. Of course, everybody knows in the United States, it's illegal in all 50 states to be driving with a blood alcohol content of above 0.08. And this is easily determined by having somebody puff on a little device that gives you a nice little magic reading that you are either below 0.08 or you are above 0.08. And so we can determine who's the drunk driver and not have to worry about any other factors. We don't have to worry about whether the drinking driver was actually driving quite well. We don't have to worry about whether or not he was a danger to anyone or whether he was actually impaired, because we've decided that 0.08 higher, someone's impaired. And there's good science behind this. Alcohol has a dose-dependent ratio. That's just a fancy way of saying the more you drink, the drunker you get. Everybody knows this. This is not anything you really had to have a study for, but scientists have done quite a lot of studies on this and found that within certain parameters, that pretty much anybody who drinks, based on how much they drink and how much they weigh and whether they're male or female, you can pretty much guarantee at which point they're going to be what we consider to be too impaired to operate a motor vehicle safely, 0.08. Now, some will argue that it should be 0.05. Some of the European countries have 0.05. Some places have even lower than that. Some people might argue that it should be a little higher, maybe a 0.10. Regardless of where you'd want to set that number, though, The number is defensible. You can point to some science that says, aha, here, 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 this shows where this number makes sense. Now, there are outliers. There are obese alcoholics with 20 years under their belt that can drink and drive just fine at 0.15. And there's some petite college girls who might have one shot, be at 0.05 and be far too drunk to drive. In any human kind of data set, you're going to have outliers. But generally speaking, vast majority of the population, you can pretty much guarantee the more you drink, the drunker you get. It doesn't work that way with marijuana. The science just isn't there. And part of the problem that we have is in the evolution of framing marijuana, one of our taglines has been treat it like alcohol. And this was a necessary frame to get people to take something abstract. Oh my God, marijuana, the demon drug that's never been legal. What would it be like? Take something abstract and attach that to something concrete that people know. Oh, alcohol. Yeah, we have alcohol. We have bars. We have taverns. We have penalties for people who get drunk and beat their wives or drive their cars. But most people drink alcohol and it's okay. Oh, treat marijuana like that. Oh, right. We gave them something to anchor this crazy idea of legalization to. But the problem with anchoring it to that, to this idea of treat marijuana like alcohol, is now the public that wants to treat marijuana like alcohol wants that marijuana breathalyzer. And part of how we sold legalization to them was attaching it to alcohol, and implicitly within the attachment to alcohol, there is the breathalyzer that assuages people's fears of there being drunk drivers on the road Saturday night or stone drivers on the road Saturday night. So now when we're getting around to legalizing and some of the people are like, where's the breathalyzer? We're going, well, you remember that part about treat it like alcohol? Well, you can't really because it's not alcohol. It's chemically not alcohol. It does not work in the same way. The very basis of how the molecules work, ethanol is water soluble. THC is fat soluble. Right at the very basis of how they work and store in the body, you can't compare the two. But nevertheless, researchers are trying. So the federal government now has a new study. National Institutes of Drug Abuse is performing this new study. And for this study, they recruited 18 occasional cannabis smokers. Ooh, a data set of 18. Wow, we should be able to learn all sorts of things from that. 18 occasional cannabis smokers, 13 of them men, between the ages of 21 and 37. Now, my first problem with this is this occasional cannabis smokers. I'd like to know how often occasional is. Is that once a week? Is that once a month? What's occasional and how much is occasionally smoked? Because as Dr. Carl Hart has shown and so much other research has backed up, frequent cannabis smokers develop a tolerance. Not just a tolerance in that they're aware that they're high and they compensate for being high, right? Like some people get the idea that stone drivers drive slow, right? That, like, for example, okay, man, I know I can't react so well, so I'll slow down, man. But it's even different. It's different than that, actually. It's an actual tolerance to the impairing effects. So that the person who's the regular pot smoker is not at the, oh, wow, man, stage in the first place. He's unimpaired. He's able to drive at that level. So we're taking 18 people who rarely smoke pot or occasionally smoke pot, who probably don't have that tolerance built up. And what they did with them is they put them in 6 45-minute drives in a driving simulator, which was a 1996 Malibu sedan mounted in a 7.3 diameter dome. 7.3 what? Feet? Furlongs? What? Doesn't say. nice copy editing time. Anyway, so they were driving on high THC or low THC or alcohol or placebos or both alcohol and THC and or placebos, like all the different, you know, combinations you can do, right? And for the placebo alcohol, they give them fruit juice with alcohol swabbed in the rim and topped with 1 milliliter of alcohol to mimic alcohol's smell and taste. Okay, so what about the placebo marijuana? How does that one work? All right, anyway. So they did all these measures of driving ability, and they focused on three measures: weaving in the lane, how many times you left the lane, and how fast you did the weaving. So alcohol had an effect on the number of times the car left the lane and the speed of the weaving. Marijuana did not, but marijuana did show an increase in weaving itself. Drivers with a blood concentration of 13 nanograms of THC showed increase in weaving that was similar to those with a 0.08 breath alcohol concentration. Of course, 13 nanograms is 2.5 times greater than what the 5 nanogram limit is in Washington and Colorado. And of course, the researcher behind this, Dr. Hustis, thinks that 5 nanograms isn't strict enough, especially when you take into account people with low tolerances. But folks, beyond all of this science, first of all, let's the 13 nanogram thing in the occasional user showing an increase in weaving. All of these are very interesting points to be made. And I can show you a whole bunch of people who are regular cannabis consumers who wake up at 13. That William Breathes, when he did his column at the Westword, abstained from using marijuana for overnight and turned up at 13 the next day, waking up in the morning. But beyond all of this measurement of blood, what I've really got a problem with here is getting away from what the point is, which is, are cannabis-using drivers causing problems on the roads? And I think after all these years, it's not as if marijuana legalization has invented marijuana and cars. There have been marijuana users all these years, and guess what? I'm going to let out a dirty little secret. They've been driving. A recent survey showed that it's about 1 out of 5 Coloradoans who are marijuana consumers admit to having driven within 2 hours of consuming marijuana. And those numbers could be consistent throughout the United States. I know lots of pot smokers, and I know lots of pot smokers who have driven. And I don't know any of them who have gotten into any collisions or difficulties or problems because of their use of cannabis. This isn't like some mystery drug that's just been discovered or some niche drug that hardly anyone uses. There are 25 million adult cannabis consumers in America. Some of them are driving. If we believe the Colorado number and can extrapolate that to the rest of the United States, 1 out of 5 drivers, we're talking about 5 million adults who have driven within 2 hours of smoking pot. And we haven't seen stoned mayhem on the freeway yet. We haven't seen death and destruction yet. Part of the reason why we ended with blood alcohol content limits and got really strict and tough on DUIDs with alcohol is because back in the 70s, we came to recognize that, oh my God, these people are driving drunk and killing people and killing themselves and causing wrecks and mayhem. Hell, my own father was one of them. My father was an alcoholic in the 70s. He must have rolled 2 or 3 cars. Thank God he never wrecked into anyone else. So we reacted to what was an obvious problem with alcohol, and then found science that backed up a blood alcohol concentration number. In the case of marijuana, we got a solution, an unscientific solution, in search of a problem. Nobody has shown the mass mayhem, the carnage, the bodies from marijuana drivers. It's like we're a victim of our own framing. They want the marijuana breathalyzer so badly that they're willing to criminalize the safest marijuana drivers, the ones who have the tolerance, yet who would be most likely to test over the limit. You set some sort of number limit, you're actually giving a false sense of security to the occasional or rare marijuana smoker who thinks because he's below 5 nanograms, he's somehow safe. That's all the time we got for Hour 1. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next. We'll take your calls at 84-420-RADIO. For everyone here at Rolla J Studios, I'm Radical Russ. Until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it.